Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the Odyssey app, and of course live on YouTube. You can jump in, 855-839-1210. Our morning mystery movie clip coming up in less than 20 minutes' time. We also have a handful of other great cuts to get to in What's on the Cut Sheet, Part 2. That'll come up at the bottom of the hour. And just after Dawn's Big Three here in a moment, I want to get into what James Carville is now suggesting that Democrats need to do. And I want to highlight the age of all of the power players on the left. And we're going to get into this conversation coming up in just a little bit. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by Best Work Industries for the Blind. Their e-commerce store is helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com offers traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, and more. With free shipping and next day delivery, shop now and save at BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. But before we get to Carville, let's get to the news. It's time for a Dawn Stensland Big Three at 9.
It's the Big Three and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Wawa this morning. Watch out for the heat wave, as it's the last day of the heat wave, which ends at 8 o'clock tonight. The family of murdered Temple University Police Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald calling for Krasner and prosecutors in Philadelphia to seek the death penalty for the man accused of murdering the 31-year-old husband and father. And they are having some tough words this morning for Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner, who has said he will not seek capital punishment, will not seek the death penalty, despite the fact that the family has begged Krasner and his office to do so, because they say this fits every piece of every criteria for a death penalty case. So the family this morning has released statements and making a plea to a newly appointed special prosecutor that we've talked a lot about, that was appointed through Governor Josh Shapiro, they're making pleas that the special prosecutor will in fact prosecute the case and will in fact at least not take the death penalty off the table.
This is disgraceful. If this doesn't qualify for the death penalty, I'm not sure what does. And if I recall correctly, and Dawn, correct me if I am wrong, this scumbag essentially executed Christopher Fitzgerald almost at point-blank range in, I believe, that alleyway or that side street. And wasn't this low-life piece of trash? Wasn't this kid from Buckingham Township?
Yeah, this is the accused, the suspect, 19-year-old Miles Pfeffer, Buckingham Township.
Yeah.
He faces trial here. Krasner has taken the death penalty off the table. The family, as well as all of the police unions, all of them, condemning the move by Krasner. But yes, saying that the accused cop killer Pfeffer pulled out his handgun, firing three times, wounding Sergeant Fitzgerald, who then fell to the ground. And that's when Pfeffer is accused of standing over Sergeant Fitzgerald, a uniformed officer, and firing three more shots into the officer's face and head.
Special place in the afterlife for people like that. I'll just leave it at that.
So that is a very serious story making national headlines, and just happening this morning that the family has made the plea to a special prosecutor. So we'll watch. Hopefully we get some reaction. We haven't received any reaction thus far from authorities. Let's take you to number two, Bidenomics. We've talked a lot about the economy and things being more expensive. Well, according to Coupon Birds, and this is talking about wedding costs escalating, a bridesmaid or a groomsman can expect to fork out.
Can we guess? Can we guess before you give us the news? Sean Farris, I'll go $42,000.
Okay, for a wedding? No, the average cost of a wedding is nearly $27,000, but that's the average.
Okay.
$27,000.
I was a little high.
Yeah. So as far as the, what would it cost you if you're a
sell short inflation?
If you're a group, let's say your best friend asked you to be a groomsman. I wish I'd had this for Tony Bruno because he and Miss Robin are engaged.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're a groomsman or a bridesmaid, what would you expect for you to pay?
Per couple to be at the wedding?
Just you as the groomsman.
$1,500?
That's actually low. Just for the bachelor party, you would pay about $1,700, $1,700.
Okay.
But that's not even to be, that's the bachelor party or bachelorette party. Then when you think about a couple and what you would pay if you were individually part of a wedding party,
mm-hmm.
$2,100.
This is just insane. Nobody invite me to any weddings because I'm not coming.
Well, that's what some people are saying. I can't afford it.
Yeah. I didn't even want to go to my own wedding.
Stop. Will you stop it? Silly. But the average wedding has 115 invited guests and $5,480 spent on providing food and drink for them. So it's, the cake, the average cake,
$525. $525.
For a cake.
I've never been a cake fan to begin with. I can skip that. We'll do donuts.
Do donuts or ice cream.
Krispy Kremes, like Chris Christie, right, John?
Krispy and Christie, he's a fat slob. He's a terrible person. And he is addicted to donuts, that much I can tell you.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
So I'll take you to number three in our big three. Philadelphia Sixers star Tyrese Maxey. He is getting ready to hand off the keys to his custom Range Rover to a lucky fan. So they're calling it Shoot Your Shot. I don't know if you guys are good at horse, but you can shoot your shot for a chance to rent the vehicle. It's part of a contest by the car sharing company Turo, T-U-R-O. So Turo is a peer-to-peer car rental company like Airbnb for cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if I'm in the mood for a Range Rover, I'm going to go to the Piazza Auto Group.
Yeah, see,
Yeah.
But
I'm biased.
We got a guy.
I've got a guy.
But this is for a rental. Turo says you can rent Maxey's 2020 Land Rover for just $76 a day plus taxes and other fees.
It's a 2020.
It's a 2020.
I don't want a four-year-old Range Rover. I want a brand new one, Dawn.
Come on.
This is the me world of I got to have right now. I don't want a four-year-old Range Rover.
But they're trying to, pump up their new website and trying to, I guess he's, obviously they're paying him to be their spokesman. But the Sixers point guard will personally hand over the keys to you as he challenges you to a one-on-one game of horse.
And
then you get to,
Mr. Maxey just got a new $200 million contract extension. I think he can upgrade his Range Rover after that new payday he just secured.
Yeah. So what, what does he care?
Yeah.
He'll go to Piazza.
Yeah.
Premium.
You can buy five of them.
And he'll get a brand new 2024.
Yeah.
Right?
And we'll just connect them with Dan and Tony.
So listen, Wawa is our sponsor. Summertime's here. It's Hoagie Fest. Yeah, that's what I said, Sean Farish.
Yeah. You want to correct the copy, Mr. Farish, and change it up.
Here's the deal. Not a joke. I'm going to Pennsylvania, and I'm opening up, and we're going to counter program, and we're going to do Hero Fest because I don't know what a hoagie is. Okay.
Hero Fest.
Well, if you don't know what a hoagie is, clearly you're not from here because we love Wawa.
We got to get Sean up here to do a show in studio, and we'll take him to Wawa.
Yeah, because
Whoa! All right. Now let's just remember, I'm from the Northeast. I've been to a Wawa.
Okay.
I know all about it.
That's right.
Now here's the deal, right? Wawa's great. Their sandwiches are great. Their donuts, by the way, are very good. Even Chris Christie would tell you. But we just got to fix the term hoagie. It's not a hoagie. That's a silly word. Nobody takes it seriously. Everybody knows. I'd much rather, would you call Superman a super hoagie or a superhero? Thank you. Argument is over.
It's Hoagie Fest, $5 shorties, $6 classics, always built. to order with meats, cheeses, and veggies you love. Delicious. Get your favorite hot or cold hoagie or try something new only at Wawa Hoagie Fest going on right now. Thank you, Wawa, for sponsoring Kale and Company, Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210 if you would like to jump in on the show. So let's get back to the disarray with the Democrats right now and the interesting predicament, and that's one way to frame it, that the Democrats find themselves in with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and what they are going to do between now and the convention. James Carville is now in his latest rant or his bit of advice is calling for Bill Clinton and Barack Obama to help select fresh options to replace Joe Biden. Fresh options.
Fresh meat.
Fresh meat. Fresh vegetables, fresh produce, fresh meats and cheeses. Go to your local Acme. So let's think about this from an age perspective. So Joe Biden is 81 years old, right? James Carville is 79 years old. And the power players that be in the Democrat Party, Nancy Pelosi's 84. Jim Clyburn is 83. Chuck Schumer is the youngster of the bunch at 73. Bill Clinton is 77 years old. And you think Joe looks and sounds bad. Have you seen Bill Clinton lately? He looks like a mummy. I mean, I don't even know if he knows where he's at. And think about this. Bill Clinton at 77 years old, still almost 5 years younger than Joe Biden. And Clinton has been out of office for almost 25 years. Barack Obama is 62 years old. So you can sit there and say Obama's still young. But all the power players are basically walking piles of mothballs and dust at this point, and they're talking about coming up with fresh ideas and fresh solutions. Carville said the Democratic Party should not choose to automatically nominate Vice President Harris or another prominent Democrat to replace him. He said, quote, in his New York Times op-ed on Tuesday, "We've got to get it out in the open, the exact opposite of what Donald Trump wants us to do. For the first time in his life, Mr. Trump is praying. To win the White House and increase his chances of avoiding an orange jumpsuit, he needs Democrats to make the wrong moves in the coming days, namely, to appear to rig the nomination for a fading president or the sitting vice president or some other heir apparent." And, you know, Carville, the former Clinton, you know, campaign guy in 1992. Think about that. I was 9 years old at the time. James Carville, I know he's had a lot of success, but as I said, he's coming up on 80 years old. So I'm not sure that his ideas are super fresh either. And I don't think Bill Clinton can generate a fresh idea. And we know Obama's kind of calling the shots. So they want to build on this mini primary is the concept that they are floating. Yesterday, we gave you that 5-point process in which they would try to find a new person. But like you talk about fresh ideas, every idea they have on the short list that we've all speculated about is met with a lot of pushback and resistance. The only person that anybody seems to come to the conclusion of, well, that would be a tough spot for Trump, is Michelle Obama. But we know she's out of the picture. They don't want Kamala. Right. Gretchen Whitmer, give me a break. Gavin Newsom, you could pluck him apart in 5 minutes in a debate. They don't have a fresh, viable solution. In fact, I would say one of the best solutions, if I was looking at it from a completely unbiased standpoint, came from Sean Farris about a week ago when you mentioned Andy Beshear, a Democrat moderate governor in a red state like Kentucky. I got news for you. The names that they have been floating out, they're not fresh. And Bill Clinton's not going to generate anything fresh. He's expired as well. So, Sean, I'll start with you. I mean, if you're Carville or you're Axelrod, David Axelrod's basically the mouthpiece for Obama. Whatever Obama thinks that he doesn't say, Axelrod basically puts out into the ecosphere. What do the Democrats do? Because I don't see a fresh, viable option other than somebody like you mentioned, which I think is a real dark horse at this point.
Yeah, I don't know what the Democrats do. I honestly don't. I don't know where they go because there are no options, right? Newsom has been, in my opinion, I think Gavin Newsom's quote-unquote shadow campaign for president effectively ended when he debated Ron DeSantis. I really think so. And so for anybody who said that was useless back, you know, when that happened, and again, I called it, and I've said this before, I called it the JV debate, right? Because both guys were kind of second on the in their party's ticket, you know, in the nomination process. Newsom wasn't even running in the primary, but the shadow campaign, and DeSantis was running in the GOP primary and all of that. So, but I think Ron DeSantis dismantled Gavin Newsom on that stage, did a lot of damage to Gavin Newsom's credibility on that stage, and effectively ended his presidential hopes and aspirations, at least in this cycle, on that stage. Where do the Democrats go? What do they do? I think, you know what, best bet for them is go with the formula that I think worked. Get behind Biden, fire up the mainstream media, get everybody, you know, circle the wagons and get the propaganda machine working overtime. The only problem with doing that is they slipped up after the debate. I think the media, again, just like we talked about the late night shows who kind of have this arrogance about them, right, where they think their audiences are bigger than they actually are. They think they have more influence than they actually have. I think the mainstream media thought they had more influence over the Democrat Party than they actually had when they came out full court press against Joe Biden. I think they thought that was going to be enough pressure to get him out of the way. But the problem is, you don't have a replacement, because the only logical replacement that would make sense without people getting upset would be Kamala. And she's less likable and polls much lower than Joe Biden. And I know the shot in the dark, right? The hope and a prayer was Michelle Obama, but she wants nothing to do with politics. Mm-hmm. She wants nothing to do with the public scene. She's said as much, and she has as much power now than she would have as president anyway. Why would she subject herself to 4 years of servitude in the Oval Office to have the same amount of power and influence that she currently has? So they're stuck. They're literally stuck. And they're right now, they're stuck with Joe, or they have to go to Kamala. The Clintons aren't going to do it. Michelle Obama is not going to run. The Clintons aren't getting him over the finish line. Newsom is shot. You know, and I don't even think a guy like Bashir has the name ID to beat Donald Trump. I don't know what they do.
Dawn, I think you and I have talked about this before, that in the future, in the near future, Josh Shapiro could be that guy. Doesn't seem like it'll be that guy this cycle around. But, I mean, I'm even seeing some of these stories about Hillary back in the circle, so to speak. We talk about how it would be sexist and racist for California's Gavin Newsom to jump over California's Kamala Harris. Could you imagine if they tried to run Hillary Clinton back?
Please.
Where then you would have, please, it's not sexist, but it's, they're going back to the white woman who lost 8 years ago before giving the Veep, second in charge, the chance at it. You would have that angle of identity politics in play as well. This is so glorious to see. They don't have the answer. They don't. They have maybe what they presume gives them slightly the best possibility to hang on to power. But if they're looking for the white knight, they don't have it. They don't have the youth.
No.
They don't have the brighter group of diversity. Look at the Republican Party right now. You've got, mm-hmm, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis. I know when a lot of people aren't Nikki Haley fans. I'm not either. You have Nikki Haley. You have Tim Scott. You have, the Republican Party might be trying to check off boxes as well, but there's a box that they check off along the way that the Democrats can't do right now, and that's the competency box. Say what you want about Tim Scott. Oh, he's not a great great presidential candidate. Tim Scott's a very competent person, very functional, yep, human being. There's no space cadets right now that were in the Republican primary. As much as I despise Chris Christie, he at least has a brain. As much as I disagree with Mike Pence on some things, and I think he's kind of a sellout, Mike Pence still has his cognitive function. We don't have any complete space cadets in left field on the Republican aisle right now. The Democrats are filled with them, and they're the old party right now. I just rattled off all those ages, 84, 83, 79, 81, 77. They are archaic. And that used to be the narrative for the Republicans. Oh, those old Republicans, get off my lawn, guy. The Democrats are now that side right now. You know, let's say Pelosi's tried her magic. Joe hasn't budged. Jill won't cave. Clyburn has tried. Schumer has tried. The Clintons have tried. And let's say everybody is of the belief that if there's one man that can get Joe to come to his senses, it's Barack. Never forget this. And this is just my own personal opinion. Barack Obama went to Hillary Clinton in 2016 to be the heir apparent. In a way, Barack Obama skipped over his own vice president, Joe Biden. I personally, and I have never been told this, this is just how I would feel if I was Joe Biden. I think there's resentment from the Bidens to the Obamas. Do you agree with that, Sean? Is that a fair, yes, a fair assumption?
Everybody that I've spoken to, and I've listened to a lot of Dan Bongino too, works Secret Service for Obama. The Obamas and the Bidens do not like each other. They don't. I mean, look, Barack Obama came out on record. Never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up, right? Yep. I mean, they don't like each other. Now, apparently, this is what I've heard. Joe Biden, this is how arrogant he is. And why you know he's not getting out of the race. Joe Biden apparently took credit a lot for Obama's popularity, right? Like, Biden made the Obama presidency. That's what he thinks. Obama hates that, right? Because Obama wants the credit. He's arrogant, too. Mm-hmm. It was Obama's presidency, right? So there is definitely some resentment between the Bidens and the Obamas. I do not think the Bidens and the Obamas like each other. I don't think specifically that that Barack and Joe like each other, but there is a sense of MAD, right? Mutually assured destruction. If Obama backstabs Joe, well, Joe knows where all those bodies are buried, right? Spygate, Ukrainegate, Benghazi, all of that. He was the VP while all that took place. So He knows where the bodies are buried. So he can out Obama. What does Joe care? He's on the end. He's in the back nine and he's on like hole 7-8 right now. Right. I mean, he don't have much time left. I hate to speak like that, but politically right now, cognitively, he's gone. Politically, he's shot. This is the end. Right. So what does he have to lose? Nothing. Right. Yeah. Obama committed a lot of arguable crimes during his administration. Biden knows all about it. He was right there throughout the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So Obama has to protect Joe. Or Joe can destroy Barack's legacy.
Yep.
And then Joe likewise needs Obama because he needs the popularity boost.
Yeah, they use each other for political purposes and political personal gains, no doubt about it. And maybe Joe does know where the bodies are buried, or he used to know. At this point, Joe doesn't know where his underwear drawer is, which is probably a good thing for Obama because Joe can't remember what he had for ice cream last night. So that's where we stand on that front.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to what is on the cut sheet part due.
What's on the cut sheet
part due?
All right, cut sheet part due, baby. Let's find out what we have in store. We're going to go back down to Florida, and let's hear from a couple of other people that were at the rally at Doral last night. Marco Rubio and Byron Donalds in attendance. Let's start with clip 42, boys. This was Byron Donalds, up-and-coming rising star in the Republican Party. And before Trump hit the stage and gave his remarks, Byron Donalds was doing his part to get everybody ready to go for DJT. Clip 42, boys.
We're going to get back to common sense policy in America. We're going to secure our borders here in America. We're going to get our government under control, and we're going to get inflation down here in America. We are going to once again demonstrate to the world what sound, sober, principled, and strong leadership is. The leadership needed for a safe world and for a safe America. And that's going to be led by the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
All right, there he is, my guy Byron Donalds, a very strong, charismatic leader, I think an ascending star within the Republican Party. To my knowledge, I want to say he's 39 years old. I think he's just a year younger than me. Sean Farris, do you see the trajectory for this guy within the next decade or so where he will rise to the level of being maybe a vice president, if not more?
Yeah, I'm thinking either, you know, he'll either run for Senate in Florida or run for governor. I know Gates has his eye on governor as well, but I think Byron Donalds is absolutely a rising star. And one of the things that he's been very outspoken about in his political career is school choice, which I believe is a Very, very under talked about issue. I think it's very important for people to have options with regards to the schools they send their children to, specifically because of how awful the curriculum has been in these public schools, these government funded schools, right? Where there's now porn in the libraries and every question in the book has to deal with, you know, who's sleeping with who and, you know, who's getting gender surgeries and all this other nonsense. Like, just teach the kids STEM, right? Like, or learn to read and write, do some math and then have them pursue their interests, creative thinking, instead of teaching them, you know, what to think, teach them how to critically think. I'm a fan of Byron Donalds. I think his trajectory is very bullish. I'll say that for Byron Donalds. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. 45 years old right now.
I was 45. Okay.
Yeah, Vance, I think, younger guy.
He's 39. Yes.
Yeah. And he's now the favorite on Polymarket for Trump VP, so we'll see what happens. But I like Byron a lot. I think he's got a bright future.
Don, you and I have talked a lot about school choice, and clearly Florida is a proving ground where, you know, DeSantis and Byron Donalds, Marco Rubio, many of the Republican politicians in the Sunshine State have gone to bat for school choice and have had resounding success. Your thoughts on where Byron Donalds stands right now within the GOP infrastructure?
Yeah, I think that he's an important voice for the GOP. We saw him here in Philadelphia and across the country campaigning for Trump.
Yeah.
And he's just another common sense conservative. And he is, you know, human evidence, if you will, of the depth, the deep bench of the Republican Party, which has the broader tent.
Yep.
And Democrats, unfortunately, are defined by not just Biden and his poor performance as far as his policy, but also think about how far left they've gone, so far left, so far progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see traditional Democrats leaving the party. They're not leaving the party. They say the party left us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. Could Marco Rubio be the vice president for Donald Trump? Well, he was also in Florida last night. Clip 35, boys. This is Rubio talking about the American people, a shadow government, and trying to restore America and get past the current president that has put us in harm's way. Clip 35, Marco Rubio.
Danger that we're in. But here's the second outrageous thing. Everyone's known this. We've been seeing it for 3 years, but it wasn't true. If you had said anything that's been said now about Joe Biden 20 minutes before that debate, they would have said that's a lie, it's a conspiracy. The only conspiracy here are the people in the shadow government that are protecting and hiding from the American people the condition of our current president, and it puts our country in danger.
All right, so we have heard that the shortlist is whittled down to three. Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, Doug Burgum. Sean just gave you the Polymarket betting odds with J.D. Vance as the odds-on favorite, but I have in front of me a Daily Mail poll. We didn't get to this yesterday, but a perfect spot for this. And the Daily Mail poll shows the following hierarchy. 13% want Tim Scott. 12% want Marco Rubio, 12% want Ben Carson, J.D. Vance at 4%, Doug Burgum at 4%, Elise Stefanik at 3%, Byron Donalds at 3%. I do not think that's an accurate reflection. I think they've got J.D. Vance too low and Tim Scott too high. But I do think it's going to come down to either Rubio, Vance, or Burgum. But Vance and Burgum much lower in this poll compared to what we've seen from some other polls and some betting odds. Do you think Marco Rubio did anything last night, Sean Farish, to maybe increase his likelihood of being Trump's pick, which allegedly could come up as early as Monday?
First of all, this Daily Mail poll, right, with Tim Scott at 14% leading the pack.
No way.
I want to know who they polled. I mean, did they poll like Paul Ryan, his family, McConnell, Lindsey Graham? Like, I mean, who the hell did they poll? In that one, you're telling me that Elise Stefanik and J.D. Vance are running neck and neck in the VP? I just that one seems a little far fetched. But did Rubio do anything last night to help his cause? I mean, he spoke favorably, but we know Rubio is a good talker. And this is the thing, right? He comes off as so rehearsed, and maybe I still have that exchange between him and Christie in the 2016 debate where Chris Christie was like, look, he's repeating the pre-programmed speech that he came onto the stage with. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just can't shake that. But I don't trust Marco Rubio. I don't necessarily like a lot of his stances. Again, if he's the vice president, I'm still voting for Trump. Doesn't change anything. You know, the VP is not that consequential. I would like it to be a guy like Vance because that would kind of signal that he's the guy who's getting the torch, maybe ready to receive the baton in 2028. I sure hope Rubio didn't help his chances last night because I don't want it to be him. He was a pro-amnesty guy not too long ago, and that position may be changed, and it's okay to evolve on your positions. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Rather, you know, come around to the right way of thinking than go down with the ship, right, mm-hmm. instead of sinking and fading away. I hope it's Vance. I have been very, very strong in terms of that being the guy who I would want. I don't know if Rubio helped himself or hurt himself last night. The fact that it was in Florida obviously was significant for him since that's the state that he serves. But I sure hope it's not him. I really do. I hope it's not him.
All right. Let's,
I think Ben Carson, there are people who claim that Dr. Ben Carson mm-hmm. is still in play.
Yep.
So
well, let me push back on the notion that the vice president doesn't matter. I actually saw a couple of people yesterday saying the more important decision is who Trump selects to be attorney general, which I'm not going to disagree with that stance. It's a very interesting point. But if we're going to sit here and look, I get it. If you're voting for Trump, you're going to vote for Trump no matter who he selects to be vice mm-hmm. president. He could pick Jerry Springer for all I care. I'm still going to pick, mm-hmm. you know, Donald Trump. But let's look at the other side. The vice president clearly does matter in this regard under this context because Joe Biden can't step aside, well, in part because he doesn't want to let go of power, in part because his wife and Hunter want to stay in the little cush gig that they have, but because his vice president is incompetent. So I think what we should start looking at, to some degree, just a broad generalization here, who you select as vice president matters if we're going to use terminology like passing off the baton, because you mm-hmm. can't hand the baton to Kamala. She's done nothing to show she's deserving and worthy and competent enough to handle the burden and the responsibility. So to that extent, if Trump's looking at it from a standpoint of 4 years for me and then 8 more years for the Republican Party, 12 years in total, hopefully with both chambers, House and Senate, don't you have to select a vice president that's not just the opposite of Trump or softer around the edges, but somebody that can be the leader in 2028 and 2032? Isn't that the mindset you should have? Or am I wrong here?
I think it's who he wants to hang out with. and who's going to help him? If the person could help him win, I think that too.
Okay. Sean?
I think in that regard, it's a good thing to think about it that way. And I think him choosing a Vance would signal that that's what his vision is, Donald Trump. I think the most important function of the vice president is presiding over the Senate, being the tie-breaking vote if you have the 50-50 split.
Sure.
But I think in this case for Donald Trump, the most important function of the vice president would be essentially to serve as life insurance, right? I think the Democrats would be just fine having Donald Trump, you know, get elected and then having, you know, concocting some way to remove him and then dealing with Marco Rubio, right? But I don't think they're going to want to deal with a guy like Vance. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they would be fine with dealing with an Elise Stefanik or a Tim Scott, but they wouldn't want to deal with a Vivek Ramaswamy. So, A, that makes it harder to remove Trump because now you're dealing with somebody who they also can't take and don't want to deal with. And B, it also signals that baton passing moment. I don't know if anybody on this VP shortlist necessarily wins anything for Donald Trump, mm-hmm. right? Extra swaying another demographic other than potentially the black vote with a Ben Carson or a Tim Scott. But you know, that didn't work in Kentucky for Daniel Cameron. He's black. He ran for governor. He lost to Andy Beshear. Right. So, you know, the identity politics thing doesn't always work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. I personally like the idea of passing off the baton and making that, a determining factor with regards to who your VP is going to be. And for that reason, I do want it to be J.D. Vance.
Hasn't Been Sober says on Twitter, I would vote for Trump even if Biden was on the ticket with him.
That's interesting.
Ron Gilchrist says Trump is dangling Rubio out there just to drive Chris Christie crazy.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
Oh, good point. Could very well
probably
be
true.
You never know.
By the way, you mentioned the eight. The you know who would he choose as his attorney general? Mm-hmm. Ken Paxton, number one on the list, Texas.
Texas. Mm-hmm.
He was just tweeting out yesterday about the White House, you know, and Biden saying he would veto any Republican bill that would seek the SAVE Act, for, you know, preventing non-citizens from voting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ken Paxton far and away would be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
He's a proven winner.
Yep.
And I think that
I agree.
Right. And that's mm-hmm. what Trump has been asked about it. I think he did say that.
All right. Let's wrap up with two clips from The Binder as she was peppered yet again with fastball after fastball, trying to, you know, go through spin mode, damage control mode, and just try to paint the president in any positive light that she can find a way to come up with it. Clip 28, what would happen if there was an incoming nuke? It's 11 p.m. and our president can't be reached because he's been in bed since 8 p.m. Clip 28, here's The Binder with her answer.
Well, he also said he's sharpest before 8 p.m. So say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
He has a team that lets him know of any news that is pertinent and important to the American people. He has someone or that is decided, obviously, with his National Security Council on who gets to tell him that news. So,
can you imagine what that must be like being a part of his team? I mean, so they have all of these additional responsibilities and duties. And it's like a checklist of, okay, the president will be in bed in about 15 minutes. Here's everybody's extra stuff that's added to your plate because we can't wake up the president. So basically, if you're a diehard Democrat and you're going to vote for Joe Biden like Whoopi Goldberg, whether he's on his deathbed or he's got poop in his pants or, you know, she steps through poop and there's a lot of poop everywhere and it's poop, 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 poop. So basically, you're just voting for a bunch of staff members. You're just voting for the collective team. You're not voting for the guy that is on the ticket to be president of the United States of America. That's what they're telling you.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think you're right about that. And I think I think it's really
pathetic. It's scary.
Right? That it's scary. It really is scary. I can't take these leftists, and I've made this point on a number of occasions that accuse Trump supporters of being in a cult and then go out there and say what Whoopi Goldberg said. And people could go, well, you know, she's being she's joking. She's not joking.
Right.
She's voting for Biden. Even if Biden is dead,
mm-hmm.
she will vote for Joe Biden. That is cultish behavior. 100%.
Good question from the Deuce man. Boy, she must cringe every time she sees Peter Doocy open up his mouth. She's probably like, mm-hmm. wait, just give me a Jackie Heinrich question. She's like, Joe, where's Jackie at? Except Jackie Heinrich's still alive and hasn't perished. All right, that'll do it for the cut sheet. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and what happened today in music history. I have no idea what it could be. Phil did not tip me off with a spoiler alert. I will find out with the rest of you when we continue. Kale and Company, final segment is next.
Next week, Rich Zeoli will be at the center of the political universe in Milwaukee and the Republican National Convention. Listen afternoons 3 till 7 every day next week for live coverage of breaking news, the inside scoop from top political experts, what's happening on the convention floor, and the issues that matter most to you.
Which candidate will defend our democracy and freedom?
Power always resides in the people. Always.
Rich Zeoli, live from the Republican National Convention. Afternoons 3 till 7 all next week. Only on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
When you go on vacation, does it make sense to have someone else pack for you? Of course not. The same can be said for your retirement. Your 401k could be packed with things you don't know about or even need. If you're close to retirement but don't have a plan customized to your goals, that's kind of like taking a 30-year vacation with no idea what's in your suitcase. Seems like a stressful way to start what should be a relaxing time. Jim Cipriotti and the Retire Ready Financial Group can help you unpack your savings and build a plan to help reduce future taxes, along with a clearly defined income strategy. Call Jim at 610-894-7415 for your complimentary retirement game plan, or visit RetireReadyFG.com. That's 610-894-7415.
Investment advisory services offered through Retire Ready Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through James V. Cipriotti, Retire Ready Financial Group, LLC, NPN number 208-3768.
July is the month to save big. With financing as low as 0% for up to 84 months, come to TurnersvilleJeep.com and get an incredible 0% APR for up to 84 months on select models, or make no payments for 90 days. TurnersvilleJeep.com has over 450 vehicles available for immediate delivery. The ride you want is what we've got, so drive a little.
Save a lot.
TurnersvilleJeep.com, your premier tri-state Jeep, Ram, Dodge, Chrysler, and Wagoneer dealer.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Wow, honey, have you seen the electric bill?
Yeah, it's out of control. But have you heard of Navien tankless water heaters?
Tankless? How does that even work?
Well, instead of constantly heating and storing water, it only heats water when we need it. So much more efficient than our giant tank heater.
That sounds great. Let's look into Navien.
Already on it.
Imagine all the hot water you need only when you need it. Bulky tanks are history. Navien high-efficiency tankless is the future. Compact, wall-hung units free up floor space, lower energy bills, longer life than tanks, and a 15-year warranty. Find out more at tanklessmadesimple.com.
Hey, Clementine.
Yeah!
We know your favorite station is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
WPHT.
Company, as we get ready to wind things down here on a Wednesday, big boy speech eve, as the Biden administration has told us.
Yes.
Big day coming up tomorrow. Sean Farish, are you going to be able to sleep tonight, by the way?
No. I am so excited about this big boy press conference. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens, and I can't wait to see what, you know, how big boy it actually is. We're going to be very proud of Joe Biden in his Pampers doing a big boy press conference. Maybe he'll even be able to color, you know, within the lines too. He won't go outside the lines. He could do color by number. We'll see what happens. Ooh. Maybe arts and crafts, some finger painting.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens.
That's what my daughters did 3 years ago in kindergarten. All right. We're also excited for what's on tap for the Dawn Show, and we find out what she has lined up 10 minutes from now.
Yes. Yeah, so Trump Force 47, the latest office that's going to be opening tomorrow in Chester County. I'm going to be there to help kick things off. So we'll talk to our friend Kathy Ingham, Chester County, working for the Trump campaign and Trump Force 47, as it's being called. So you'll get all the information from Kathy on where to go tomorrow evening and how you can sign up to volunteer and be a patriot. But we'll also talk about the latest polls and Pennsylvania in play as one of the key swing states. Obviously, I'll go through those a little bit. We'll go through the Trump rally, my take on that one, and obviously the debut of Barron. So that was a lot of fun. We'll have some fun with that one as well. And then locally, there are a lot of great local stories that I know we've touched upon, but we're looking for some new developments in this request by the family, the grieving family and widow of Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, murdered police officer, and the family's plea for justice. And so we'll get into all of that.
All right, looking forward to that. And by the way, if Barron Trump ever does become president, I do think we are owed here on Kale and Company the exclusive first interview. I'm just going to be selfish for just a moment if I could. All right, Phil Omquist, let's find out what happened today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, July 10th, we celebrate the birthday of Rick Emmett from Triumph, who's now 71, and heavenly birthday shout-outs for Sandy West from The Runaways and Ronnie James Dio. Singles include Liar by Three Dog Night in 1971, Doo-Wah Diddy Diddy by Manfred Mann in 64, and We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You by Queen in 1977. albums that could low budget by the Kinks in 1979. Also in 68, Eric Clapton announced Cream would break up after their tour. In 69, the funeral for Brian Jones took place. In 76, Afternoon Delight by Starland Vocal Band was atop the singles chart. In 2012, Slash gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And in 2008, the drum skin on the cover of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album sold at auction for $1 million. But lastly, on this day in 1974, David Bowie began a five-night engagement at the Tower Theater here in Philly, all of which was recorded for his first live album, David Live, released in October of that year. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Umquist.
All right, nice work, Philip, as that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is coming up next. Sean, I will see you, and we will chat with you again tomorrow morning at 6. Sound good?
Can't wait to be back here again tomorrow morning at 6 on Big Boy Press Conference Day.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yes. Stay tuned.
Happy
the Dawn
Big Boy Press Conference Eve.
Yes, indeed. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6. And as Joe would say before he shuffles off.
All right. God save the Queen, man.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.